Vegas Golden Podcast. It's 2020, and for one of the first times, much to your surprise, you probably think we're together more often, but Justin Emerson and myself, Case Kiefer, are in the same room, so we decided we need to get back to the podcast. We'll try to come with you a little more consistently now, even if we have some fill-ins, because our schedules have pulled us to some different places.
Yeah, I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks, Case.
Yeah, I don't think we've been around, so we haven't been holding out on you. It just really hasn't been an option,
yeah,
to be honest.
I was on vacation, and then I was on the road, and then you were on vacation and on the road, and coming up in a couple of weeks, or I'll be on the road next week, you'll be on the road the week after that, something like that, so yeah.
So yeah, you might have to have some special guests here, but in the meantime, we'll go with the classic lineup of Vegas Golden Podcast, which we want to remind you is brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. Golden Knights have played quite a few games since the last time we spoke. I know we talked all through the end of 2019. Didn't get to preview this first set of 2020 games, but in the new decade, the Golden Knights stand at a pretty disappointing 2-3 to finish a homestand. That's going to be our big topic, just looking back at the 7-game homestand. The Golden Knights do go 4-3, but it's not a pretty 4-3 considering there are three pretty nasty looking L's here at the end.
Yeah, I think if you would have, right before the road trip, if you would have said that they would have gone 4-3, I think a lot of people might have taken it. It's like, I'd rather have 5-2 or 4-2-1, try to get that extra point out of there. But 4-3 isn't altogether awful, but the way that they did finish the homestand kind of was. They were 4-0. They had that miracle comeback against the Blues, but they've been down 3-0 at some point in the game in their last four games. Just stinkers against the Kings and the Blue Jackets in particular kind of hurt a little bit. And now the Golden Knights are fighting for it in a crazy Pacific. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but about to go on the road where hopefully they can bank some points before the All-Star break.
Yeah, and I know it's usually, for the most part, this way in hockey, and it certainly has been this year, but I think this stretch just brings more to life what we've been saying all year of just, kind of the ebbs and flows of this team and how inconsistent they've been. I know that's been a whole theme of one of our past episodes, but you have just the ultimate highs of this homestand. It starts with that game against Arizona that looked like so huge that I think they were tied.
Yeah, that was
the top of the Pacific going into
game.
That. Yeah, and Vegas looks so great. They win 4-1 on that Saturday night. And then to top it off, probably in even better fashion, that comeback win against the Blues. It just seemed like everything was riding so high, and then to crash as bad as it has with losses. I even take away the Penguins loss. The Penguins are such a good team. You can take a one-goal loss of them, even though they were down 3-0.
Yeah,
but just
it happens.
These last two, it's just like the other end of the extreme. Now we're second-guessing, like, wow, the Pacific's so close. All these teams are so close. I mean, if Vegas plays like this, are they even close to the team they thought we would be? It's just, I don't know. I feel like this kind of sums up how the whole season has been.
I mean, we're looking at a team that has played 48 games and won 24 of them. Exactly half. They have a +4 goal differential, but they have 3 shootout wins. So really, in reality, they're +1 in goal differential. So this is about as average of a team as you can get right now, and we are more than halfway through the season, and they have won half their games with essentially an even goal differential. So we're looking at a team that might not be that much more than average. I mean, we early in the year it was, well, it's still early, they're going to get it together, and last year they did go on quite a run at the end of February to kind of pull away, but I don't think Mark Stone's being acquired at the trade deadline this year. They're not going to go out and get that guy to jumpstart it. So I mean, they're gonna need to find something. They're in an extraordinarily tight division. There's not a whole lot of margin for error. And against some of the teams at the bottom of the standings, the Kings of the world, those are games that you probably need to win. And then, especially at home, and you do get a little bit of I don't want to say an easy road trip, but Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal are all bottom quartile teams in the league right now. So it's a team that's going to have to find something to go on a tear.
Yeah, I think, too, you bring back the streak last year, which I think is a good thing to call back to, is I think maybe that's why this recent 3-game losing streak hurts even more, because I think I even heard people or saw people saying when they won these 4 games, like, here comes this year's run. This is where we're going to separate from the Pacific. It seemed like that was a real possibility until these last 3 games against the Penguins, Kings, and Blue Jackets. And of course, there is a common thread in all of them, despite the level of competition being quite different. It's been the starts that have really killed the Golden Knights. It seems like they've gotten buried, or it doesn't seem like. I mean, it's factual. They've been in big deficits in each of these games. What is going on early in games for Vegas?
Man, if I could tell you, I would. I mean, it's just bizarre to see, because I remember after the second game against Pittsburgh, it's like, okay, Blues and Penguins are really good teams. You fall behind 3-0. It's kind of a blip on the radar, but then it happens to the Kings, and then you're like, well, it can't happen a fourth time, and then it does. I mean, just statistically, they're not going to fall behind 3-0 in every game, but it's been bizarre to see, and I don't know if it's kind of the fatigue of playing at home. A couple of players have mentioned that. I've got a story coming on sun.com Tuesday morning about that, whether or not it is players just kind of wanting to get out onto the road, or if it's just a fluke thing, or if their pregame preparation isn't right, whatever it is, they were able to come back against the Blues, but it's hard to bank on coming back from down that far early in the game.
Yeah, man, I shortchanged the 3-0 deficits. I forgot they were down 3-0 to
the
Blues.
They fell down 3-0 to the Blues, and then it was their first comeback of the year where they'd fallen behind by even 2 goals in a game, and they came back and win. I mean, you had mentioned that streak, so we had talked about maybe that this was the streak. Before that loss to the Penguins, they were on a 13-5-1 run. So they had climbed kind of out of mediocrity, and it's like, okay, here come the Knights. This is what we were looking for. And then 3 straight losses kind of has you thinking, okay, is this going to be a team that's ever able to separate from the pack?
Yeah, it has been wild. We'll see if they can turn it around this week. You know, Justin already kind of mentioned the stretch they have coming looks pretty forgivable. I will say, as we always do on this podcast, and you surely have looked a little deeper than me, I still am a little enthused, if I'm a Golden Knights fan, by their underlying numbers, which still look very strong to me just by a quick glance. They've still been pretty unlucky by PDO under 100. And it looks like they lead the whole, or at least have one of the best expected goal rates in the whole NHL right now. At even strength, more than half a goal per game advantage for and against. I still think that statistically this team still looks good. I understand there's finger pointing that goes on when you have kind of a slide like this and you're falling into these holes, but I still think if you look at the grand picture, there's no need to have alarm bells quite yet.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, they are the number 2 team in the league by expected goal percentage, behind only Tampa Bay at 5-on-5. They're 2nd in the entire league in scoring chances percentage. They're 4th, I believe. Where did it go? Yep, 3rd in Corsi percentage, but 4th from the bottom in PDO. So, you know, a little bit of that was a goaltending slump. The last couple of games, Marc-Andre Fleury and Malcolm Subban haven't exactly been up to snuff, so their save percentage has been lower as a team over the last couple of weeks, which is going to drop their PDO. But, I mean, this is still a team that I think you can bank on. It's a Pacific Division that doesn't have a clear leader right now. I mean, the Golden Knights going into yesterday's game, or Saturday's game, were in first place in the Pacific Division, and now they're in 4th. And by the time they play, I mean, if they lose on Tuesday, they could end up in 5th. I mean, it's just fluctuating so much that all it's going to take, I think, is, you know, a good run of pulling out 7 of 8, you know, 10 of 12 games, something like that, to maybe cement yourself to the top of the division. And if I were to bet on one team out of the 5 right now that could do it, I would bet on Vegas.
Yeah, that's still probably the right way to go. And thanks for clarifying on those numbers.
I got you.
Brief aside, it would make this so much easier, and I would sound so much better if I just looked at it in like standings or chart formats. But this is just how I think about hockey now. Do you ever go to the charting hockey site?
Yeah.
Our guy Sean Tierney.
I
love his chart, so that's where I'm looking at this stuff at. And you can kind of tell
the visuals.
Yeah, you can tell if they're, you know, near the top or near the bottom, but I never have the exact, so I always throw it to you. But yeah, shout out to Sean Tierney and chartinghockey.ca. I really like seeing it visually like that, but it does not transfer over well to the audio format when I'm like, oh well, you know, they're ahead of most teams on this expected goal rates chart. But yeah, so that's where I stand with that. I will say quickly before we move on to the next segment of the show, I hinted at it earlier, but it does seem when there's a stretch like this, the fans, I mean, it's just a natural reaction to kind of push the blame on someone or, you know, try to figure out exactly what's causing it. What I'll let you go wherever you want with this. I mean, I've seen a lot. I've seen, of course, the defense always is kind of the whipping boy and taking shots for this team, people wanting the defense to improve. But even now, for once, people are down on Fleury. What do you think's been a cause that people are saying that, you know, actually makes sense, and what's one that, you know, people might need to pump the brakes on a little bit?
I actually think I'll defend the defense a little bit. And if you listen to the podcast at the beginning of the year, follow me on Twitter or my stories, I've been critical of the defense most of the season. It's been better the last couple of weeks. They've tinkered with some line changes. I'm not sure if they're still there, but there was a time that Shea Theodore and Nick Holden were not only the best D pair on the team, they were the best in the league, and they still are. As of right now, the best expected goals percentage D pairing in the entire NHL, Shea Theodore and Nick Holden. The best forward line by expected goals percentage, Pacioretty, Stevenson, Stone. So it's kind of bizarre to see a team like this without a better record. So what's the issue? Well, goaltending hasn't been great. Marc-Andre Fleury started the year so well. We had talked about him being the best goalie in the league through the first couple of weeks. He's kind of worked his way back down to average for the season, both in terms of goals saved above average and expected. So maybe that's part of it, and maybe Fleury's just been an extended slump, and if he can snap out of that, he goes on a run that we've seen him go on over the last couple of years to help bring this team kind of back to where they were. But I guess we'll see. Right now, I would say I'll defend the defense a little bit, and I'll say that that if the goaltending gets just a little bit better, then they're going to be in really good shape.
Yeah, from my eyes, seems like Theodore's having a terrific season.
Shea Theodore has been tremendous this season.
Really raises the level of whoever he's playing with, especially give those numbers about Holden right now. But I remember when he signed his extension, it was like, man, that's a lot of... Not everyone wanted him to be in Vegas. They knew his potential, but I remember thinking, like, wow, that's even bigger contract than a lot of people expected. And I think you're starting to see kind of what George McPhee, Kelly McCrimmon, and the whole Golden Knights brass saw in him. So I think he's been their best defender.
Oh, yeah, not even close. He's and coming into it, you would say, well, it's either going to be him or Nate Schmidt. Schmidt struggled a little bit this year, but Theodore has been, all year, he's been terrific in his own zone, and then over the last couple of weeks has really fired up the Pistons as far as racking up points. So he's kind of been the defenseman. He's a guy that right now is, you know, 50 points isn't out of the question for him, and that would be quite good for him. That'd be a career high, and he's been tremendous all season long.
For sure. So we'll continue to watch that. Maybe help us on the way defensively. Don't want to jump the gun too much, but always got to remember the trade deadline coming up. We'll see. But for the moment, let's escape the fortress, get to some other teams in the NHL, and we've talked about it a little bit, but I think this has to be the Pacific. Now, I think the last time we talked, it had pretty much separated. It looked like it was going to be Vegas and Arizona.
Yeah.
No longer. Vegas crashing. Arizona doesn't have a healthy goalie in sight, it seems like. And Vancouver and Calgary are soaring. They're up the standings. Right now, I think Calgary and Arizona technically tied for first in the Pacific.
Yep.
And Edmonton right there, too, still hanging around with 53 points. So the other four teams in the Pacific, you could all make a case for right now.
Yeah, there's not one team that you can eliminate. I think that maybe we had talked about Edmonton had gotten off to such a good start, and they're like, they're going to fall, and they've fallen a little bit, but not that far. Calgary's surging, 7 wins in their last 10. Vancouver's got 8 in their last 10. And right now, Calgary, Arizona, Vancouver, Vegas, and Edmonton, 5 teams in the Pacific, all within 2 points of each other. Literally an Edmonton win would shoot them from 5th to tied for 1st in the division right now. So like we kind of mentioned, there's not a whole lot of margin for error. And when we jump into our look ahead portion, we'll be talking about that this is a road trip that the Golden Knights should and maybe need to do well on, against some of the bottom teams in the Eastern Conference.
So you've already declared that Vegas would still be your top pick if you, had to be nailed down with one of these teams. I think it could get a lot more interesting beyond that. Is it still Arizona in the number 2 spot, or you prefer one of these other fast risers? I still, Calgary's talent still can kind of seduce me a little bit. I see you could make the case there. I don't know. What way are you going?
Well, I would think Arizona, just because I like their goaltending so much. And you're right, Darcy Kemper's hurt. Antti Raanta came back and then got hurt again. But they were shut out in back-to-back games against Tampa Bay and Carolina, two admittedly very good teams. But, I mean, it doesn't matter who the goalie is. If you don't score, you're not going to win a game. So I like Arizona. If depending on how long Kemper and Raanta are out, I think those are both two guys that can carry a team. I like Vancouver's young talent. Calgary, you know, they had 100 plus points last season and brought back mostly the same team. So Arizona, Vegas, I really like. I'd probably take Calgary as my number three team. I think those, if I had to pick right now, would be your three Pacific playoff teams. I'd go Vegas, Arizona, Calgary in that order if I had to choose.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to disagree with that. I still think from a talent perspective, since the Hall trade, you still look at Arizona as a big threat in that regard. If they can get their offense on track with a healthy goalie, they're awfully scary. Calgary coming on, I still don't really know what to make of them. They have a negative 8 goal differential on the year. They've been so up and down. And Edmonton, basically I'm just talking myself into having the same kind of hierarchy as you. Vancouver seems very, they seem like the one wild card here because, like you said, such that young talent, there's less of a sample of exactly what they're capable of if they keep clicking at the level they are lately. I feel like they're the one that could really throw things off. I could see such a huge volatility in their potential outcome. I could see them, you know, gelling together and being a really tough team, potentially winning the Pacific, or I could see them really falling back to the pack and being at the end. That's the one I can't really figure out. I'm pretty certain that at the end of the day, Vegas, Arizona, and Calgary are all most likely going to be even in the playoffs. And the fourth spot's one that's tripping me up a little bit.
Yeah, right now, and all of those, Vancouver currently has the best goal differential in the Pacific, and Calgary at -8 is worst of the five. So you tell me how that works out, huh?
Who knows? I mean, sometimes I just feel like this is a fool's errand. This hockey is so tough to pin down.
Yeah.
When you're looking at it long-term,
I mean,
like
we've got 34 games left for the Golden Knights. As many as 36 left for Vancouver, and I got nothing. It's gonna be a fun race to the end of this, and I think it's gonna be. I don't necessarily think that there will be a team that pulls away from the pack. I think it's whoever can outlast some of the other teams. Three can outlast the other two?
Especially with the way the standings are set up, I think that's always the smart bet in hockey, and especially in this situation. But let's go ahead and recklessly speculate anyway if Vegas can be the team to pull apart with our next up segment. We're going to talk about their next set of games. We're going to go ahead and go for the next 8 days, I guess, because that's the next possible time we could get together to do another episode. So Vegas has coming up tomorrow night. We're recording on a Monday, of course. They're playing at Buffalo, then at Ottawa Thursday, another day in between games at Montreal. And then Tuesday, I guess, is the big one as far as taking on another Stanley Cup contender at Boston. These looks like three very winnable games, three games where you're probably going to be a slight to a big favorite despite being on the road, followed by a showdown in Boston. Is Mark Stone right? Is getting away from home going to be a good thing for this team?
I think it will be. In part because of the teams that they get to play. I mean, they a generous schedule to start this homestand, and you have to play Boston at the end, who's currently atop the Eastern Conference as far as points percentage goes. But before them, you get the Sabres, who are the fifth worst in the conference by points percentage, Ottawa Senators, who are second worst, and the Canadiens, who are fourth worst. So you get some teams at the bottom of the standings, and these are kind of the games that you should win, and you know, good teams will go in, and they're, you know, it's tough to go to the other side of the country regardless of who you're playing, but to be able to come away with a couple of wins I think is very important.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only have Buffalo and Ottawa struggled this year, been towards the bottom of the standings, they're both beaten up a lot right now too. They're dealing with a whole lot of injuries, so I think Vegas should be able to go into both of these places and win. Montreal's really in a big downturn lately. I think they had lost something like 8 games in a row.
Yeah.
I think they won one last week. Montreal, I still think, might be a little bit better than their record.
They beat the Golden Knights earlier this year. It came back from in a third period deficit.
Right. I mean, so they have some firepower. Obviously, they have a great goalie. When Carey Price is on, there's not many better than him. That's a game I look up as a potential tripping spot. So I'm going to say Vegas starts this 2-1. I just look, maybe they lose to Buffalo or Ottawa. Certainly anything's possible. They just lost to the Kings and Blue Jackets at home. But I think if you're as high on the Golden Knights as we made it sound in the first segment, I think you got to take them to win these games.
Yeah, and I'll take them to win the first three. I think that I think that these are going to be very important games. I think Ottawa is going to be an emotional one for Mark Stone. That is his first time back in Ottawa since his trade from the Senators. Max Pacioretty is going to get the same media attention in Montreal as a former captain that Stone's going to get in Ottawa. So I think these guys are going to be fired up for the games. Boston's going to be tough. Boston's one of the best teams in the league. Last game before the All-Star break, there's a chance that this is the game that Fleury chooses to sit out for his All-Star game suspension. We'll see how that one goes. I don't love their chances playing the Bruins, the defending Eastern Conference champions, but I will take them to go 3-1 in this stretch of four games.
All right, I like it. Yeah, I was saving that Boston game all for one of its own because I think it merits it with how well the Bruins have played this year. Maybe I haven't followed this enough. I know Fleury turned down his All-Star game invite, but you get a game suspension for that?
Yeah. So for those that don't know, if you turn down going to the All-Star game, you have to sit out either the game before or the game after the All-Star break, which would be either January 21st at Boston or January 31st at Carolina. My guess, and this is just a guess at this point, we'll learn more as the road trip progresses, that he chooses the Boston game because the game before Boston is Montreal, and after losing his father earlier this year, and if he's going to be suspended for the Boston game anyway, going ahead of the All-Star break and the bye week, he could spend more time with his family. He's from Montreal area, so that would be my guess, is that he stays there while the team goes to Boston, but we'll find out. So, and if you're playing Malcolm Subban in that game, your chances, you know, playing a backup goalie, always tough. Former Bruin, right?
Yeah, he beat the Bruins in his first start in Vegas. So one of the more memorable games, I think, of the early first season. I had no idea. So I'm assuming someone listening probably, I didn't realize that either. I didn't realize you had the suspension. I don't necessarily think that makes a gigantic difference, I guess. I mean, Subban.
No, and I'm not sure that no matter which goalie is going, you're going to be an underdog going into that game. But hey, maybe the opportunity arises. If they can win that game, that could be right before the break. That could be a big thing to give them a high going into the All-Star break and the bye week.
Yeah, and so then 10 days off after that will come to you, or at least some version of the show will come to you during that time. But I'm really excited to see them square off against Boston, who, as we said, has had such a good year. And we saw them so early. I think it was the first non-Sharks game. The third game of the year when they came to T-Mobile.
That's right. That's right.
Boston jumped on them early. I don't know if it was another 3-0 deficit.
Vegas went up on them.
Oh, Vegas went up on them. You were right. It was 2-0 early for Vegas. Stone and Smith looking at the game now. Yeah, then the Bruins pulled away. So a 4-3 win. I still would not be totally shocked if this was a Stanley Cup matchup.
I wouldn't be surprised. And the thing about it too is, no matter who comes out of the Pacific, whoever wins the Pacific is going to have two guaranteed home rounds at home, if you can, assuming you get to the second round. So suddenly you've got two home rounds. You win those, you're already in the Western Conference final. So whoever comes out of the Pacific is going to have an easier path than whoever comes out of the Central. So it's a hockey cliche, but it's absolutely true. Every single point is going to be so important, because the difference between being in a Pacific Division playoff spot and maybe having to start the playoffs on the road against a Central powerhouse like the Blues could just be one or two points.
Yeah, absolutely. So every game important, but this one's just going to feel a little bit even more important going into the All-Star break. Two of, I think talent-wise, it's safe to say two of the better teams in the NHL. Vegas at Boston next Tuesday.
Looking forward to it, and
Justin will be there. So, check that one out for sure. Before we go, we have to do our episode weekly. It should be weekly. We haven't been coming to you weekly lately, though. But every episode we do our Shining Knight competition, where we go head-to-head and picking the Golden Knight who's going to shine the most in the next set of games. So we have these four games set out, and we're resetting. We could only use players once is the only real rule of this. But since it's a new calendar year, everyone is on the table for each of us now. We can only choose them once going into the playoffs. Justin, I guess as you often do, why don't you give us the standing update?
Well, I would love to. You did finish out 2019, our last pod, with a win. You had Mark Stone, who went on a pretty good hot streak. I had Paul Stasny, who was struggling a little bit. But that ended the first half of the season. Justin, 7, Case, 3. Well done, pal.
Yeah, that's no one celebrating at the All-Star break. Hey, there was a stretch here where the Lightning were out of the playoffs, too. And you see what they've done. They've won 10 in a row, and now they have, like, one of the best records in the NHL and back to the definitive Stanley Cup final favorite.
No, you're definitely right. I think that I don't know what the betting odds would have been on me in the first half of the season. I'm guessing I would have covered whatever spread. Maybe me by 1.5, maybe 2. I don't know.
Yeah, you would have covered, but still a long way to go.
Yeah,
still,
you've got a 4-point deficit to overcome in the second half of the season.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Who has the first pick this time around?
Well, you do, as it turns out. All right,
that's great.
Clean slate, everybody on the board, the next 4 games. So you've got Buffalo, Ottawa, Montreal, Boston, 4 road games to choose from.
Yeah, and I'm going to be gone for a long time after this, so I don't know when the next time I'll get to make my actual selection is.
Don't worry, Ray Brewer will choose for you.
The more I think about it, I might have to text him with, you can take one of these guys, because I don't know. I don't want him taking, who knows who he would even come up with, Reed Duke or something. He loves Reed Duke.
Pittsburgh guy, Ray is. He'll take Fleury. You know he will.
That's true. But I really just enjoyed having this guy on my team, so I think I'm going to keep it this way for a prolonged stretch. By the end of this, he's going to be on my Shining Knight team for like a month, and I think that's going to give us a good morale boost. I'm just going to go with Mark Stone once again.
Yeah, doubling up. You waited for Stone for the end of the year, the end of the calendar year.
Situation's dire.
It is. Well, I was thinking about Max Pacioretty, but I don't like to try to have line mates go against each other. Let's see. Jonathan Marchessault has been a little hurt, hasn't played in a while. Don't want to lose games on him in case he doesn't play. You know what? Let's go with William Karlsson. We're going to have a heavyweight matchup to start Shining Knight. Who's going to be better over the next 4 games, Mark Stone or William Karlsson? That's a fun one.
I was hoping you'd punt and take, like, I don't know.
Valentin Zico?
Yeah, exactly. But I guess that
Keegan Kolesar was up for a game.
That's true. I was hoping you took Keegan Kolesar. But no luck. This should be a really good one to watch. Karlsson versus Stone against, all things considered, is a pretty easy schedule. So one of these two guys, if not both of them, should have a big week.
Well, as we've heard, there are no bad teams in the NHL.
Yeah, for sure. You're knocking out you're giving us some shine to all the hockey cliches today.
You gotta
appreciate
get pucks
it.
Deep, 200-foot game, full 60-minute effort, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Every point matters, as you already said. That's gonna do it, though, for us today. Stone versus Karlsson, watch for that in the Shining Knight competition. We'll be back after this set of 4 games sometime next week during the All-Star break. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to Vegas Golden Podcast.